If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I've started watching aesthetic slime videos.
That's going to need a little clarification.
So, you know, like, any kind of, like, soft-talking girl doing, collecting things.
Oh, yeah.
Videos. So, it started a few years ago, but there is a big craze for slime. And the slime has got more complicated, and we would have called it silly putty.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
And now it's slime, and people, there are shops that make this slime, and they make all kinds of different scents, and they put different things in it, and they make ones that you mix together yourself, so the base is like a kind of a white slime that smells like maple syrup, and then they make a little clay waffle that you put on top, and then you take a nice video of yourself mixing it together.
Oh,
and it's very ASMR related.
I see quite a lot of TikToks like with sort of super cuts of people playing with slime like that in the background, while a voice like this reads out inaccurate historical facts and jokes that turn out to be racist at the last minute. I hate that genre.
Well, I'm not watching those.
I am.
But it also, I just like the little models. I love models. So I skip through the ASMR bits because I hate audio squishing. I just like that they make a thing look like another thing. Welcome, listener, to this Season 3, Episode 9 of the Electronic Wireless Show, Rock, Paper, Shotguns, PC Gaming Podcast, and the only podcast you need, in my opinion, which is, as ever, that of Alice Bell. And I am joined this week by James Archer. Hello, Jams.
Hello.
And, of course, by Nate Crowley. Hello, Nate.
Hello.
I wondered what you were doing then. It took a while itself into an air horn there.
A very soft air horn. Well, almost, yeah. Almost comforting.
You know, those saxophone like muters that you can put over the end of a saxophone. It's one of those on an L.
Is that what, you know, other people have white noise machines and ocean noises to sleep? Do you have like a calming horn?
I have a muted vuvuzela that I wave around my head and it just goes like an apologetic bee.
You play affirmations that are like, be the crab you want to be in the world. And like,
sometimes moving forwards is moving sideways. Remember, it's no cause for concern.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, I think that we're all in a sort of whimsical place today. That's good. Especially given the subject matter. Anyone get anything interesting to report from the last week? Any other business before we get going?
I'm sure it will come to me at the most inopportune moment, so yeah, carry on. Oh yeah, have you seen July?
The month?
No, it's what I'm insisting on calling June 2 after seeing a very funny tweet about it.
I've seen June 2, but I haven't seen the July thing.
What did you think?
I liked it. It's very, you know, nice looking film. There were some like slightly weird pacing bits, I thought. Like there's at least a couple of parts where they're like, they are suddenly on the other side of the entire planet within a scene. And Timothy Chalamet hasn't even grown any facial hair in that time.
No.
Timothy Chalamet.
That's good. I think if they'd have like, taken half of the close-ups of his face out and replaced them with more scenes on the Harkonnen rave planet, it would have been the perfect film. But yeah, you've not seen it yet, Alice, so...
I haven't seen the first one yet. Refuse. Je refuse.
It, powerful. Like,
reject modernity, embrace tradition. 1984 David Lynch Dune is the only Dune I need. I will not submit.
I liked the baddie in this one. He was kind of like if Nux from Fury Road got really big on YouTube and things got dark.
I did see a tweet saying, like, no matter how bald you are expecting him to be, he is somehow more bald than that.
Yes. He's very sexy. Very weird.
I'm content to just, like, most big pop culture things that happen now, I'm happy to just know enough about them to understand the memes and nothing else.
You've become truly metacultural.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm above all of you.
You're like the KFC guy at the end of The Matrix with all his tellies.
I'm fucking Dr. Manhattan, mate. I'm sitting on Mars.
You're not locked on Mars with me. I'm locked on Mars with you.
Anyway, this week we're talking about hiding your shame on Steam. So in the news this week is a Steam update that A, makes shopping a tiny bit easier because you can share your cart between different platforms. So if you add something to your cart on Steam Deck, then it will still be in there on, you know, browser or whatever. And it makes gifting a little bit easier. But for our purposes, you can also private specific games now. So people can't see, you know, your playtime in them or what you've been doing or that even that you own it. So you can hide, because you can private your account, but now you can enter the Steam social media sphere, I guess, with all your games, but like if there's one that you're embarrassed of, you can hide it from your friends and family, which I think is very funny. Alice wrote about this on RPS during the week. She said, Wags might suggest you will want to hide your vast collection of hentai games, but frankly, if that is a potential issue, I assume that you made hentai a large enough part of your personality that you would want the world to know. You probably emblazoned your Steam profile with a max level trading card badge from one hentai game and a wallpaper from another, which artfully uses the blank space in the middle to hide indescribable eroticisms.
No one does it quite like Alice.
I know. So, lads, what games on your Steam would you hide?
Fucking none. I don't know. Like, I guess it's like what Alice was saying. Like, if people are like truly, truly ashamed to have a game visible on their Steam, they probably just wouldn't buy it in the first place.
Well, so the example Alice gives is that she says, no, a far more likely shame is you don't want anyone to know how much you played, e.g. The Binding of Isaac, Balatro, or Destiny 2. For example, Alice O has played over 2,000 hours of Destiny. Yeah.
That's rather a lot, actually.
It's a lot of Destiny, yeah.
It's a reasonable...
So my most played game is Dota 2 with 2,817 hours.
Fuck it out. Hang on. I'm looking up. Carry on. I'm going to type and look up how many days that is of your life. 2,817.
Well, they say it takes like 10,000 hours to master anything. So you are one fifth of a master.
I've definitely not mastered Dota, let me tell you. But yeah, okay, so like one in my defense, if I need to give a defense, is that is over, I think, something like nearly 9 years now. So, you know, it's not like I've played 23 hours a day for a few weeks. It is, you know, bits here and there over a long time. So that I don't consider it that embarrassing. Also, I think the only reason I put that to private maybe is because in a lot of people's eyes, in a lot of like Dota players' eyes especially, that's hardly anything. Because this is a game where people like routinely put tens of thousands of hours in, and if you like fuck up during a game, people will go on your Steam profile and be like, oh, little baby, you've only played haven't even played 3,000 hours.
Okay, well...
I guess that's a niche use of the privating thing, if you don't want, yeah, grognards to complain about your lack of experience.
You've spent 16.7 weeks playing Dota 2, James.
Over 9 years.
That's just a reasonable holiday.
And there was no judgment. There was no judgment. I'm like, you know, cumulatively, factually, that's how much of your life you spent on Dota 2.
So I've been saved from this whole dilemma by Steam's failure to form a monopoly on games distribution. Because if you look at my Steam list, it's like, imagine, you know, like a textbook diagram of a healthy person, you know, standing like Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, you know, made entirely out of reasonable amounts of time spent playing various, you know, relatively cerebral RTS games. But then the Vitruvian Man turns around and he's got a camel hump-sized bollock hanging off his back with Hearthstone written on it. But you can't see that on Steam. I don't want to know that stat.
So, I have very bad stats, bad air quotes, because I think it's partly because of my job, right? So, like, I have to play a lot of different games. So, I will play, like, I have, how many games on Steam? I have 312 games on Steam. And most of them I've played for, like, you know, 30 hours. And then done on to the next one, as Dave Grohl would say. So
deep cut.
So I don't know, yeah, if I would... I don't know if I would hide anything. But do you think a porn game is really... Is there no use case for this, basically? Or is it like... you know, the suburban dad who's actually a serial killer, like a normie who has one disgusting sex game that they love.
I don't know, it feels kind of... It all feels a bit American Psycho, really. Like, if you were that... Yeah, beyond the sort of hiding porn thing, the only application I can think is, yeah, just people who are incredibly concerned about their reputation as a gamer and want to, like, deeply manicure what they've been visible as playing. I don't know how many people that means that much to, though. So it's very hard to think of an alternative use case.
I like to think that this came about because people at Valve had a meeting along the lines of, how can we get more people buying porn games? Because the people that were already buying porn games, like, this change isn't for them. Like, they don't care.
This opens up a whole new market to them, legitimately. Like, it is a really good business decision. It's just really fucking crass.
Well, I did look up the top adult-only games on Steam.
Yeah.
Number one is called Senran Banker, which is a Japanese-style visual novel, which is a bit more kind of... It's a little bit more kind of coy, I guess. Like, if you look at the Steam page for Senran Banker, it's very, like... you know, there's some little chibi kind of drawings, and there's not... You don't see tit or ass or anything like that. It's sort of...
So that's not how it's sold, primarily?
It says, like... NSFW, but the description says, like, this game commemorated Ubisoft's 10th anniversary. It won numerous awards on the year of its release in Japan for its art, music, and characters. So it's kind of a more cerebral sex game, I guess. There's not...
Ah, so it's acclaimed hentai.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, it keeps playing the first few bars of the ad, and the music is very loud. He's blasting my ears. Then there's Mirror, which is a match 3 game where you play against, like, hot, big boobed women. And then when you beat them, they, like, fall on the floor and have, like, removed their clothes.
Oh, gosh.
So it's not really, like, there's not a lot of active shagging in it.
Yeah, it's more sort of set dressing for a conventional game.
Yeah. And then number 3 is Being a Dick. But, like, dick using a what's the universities in America, they have clubs where they're awful together.
Fraternities?
Yes.
Oh, so it's like Greek lettering in a fraternity logo.
Yeah, it's a choice-driven adult visual novel focusing on the fun parts of college life, which is drinking, shagging, and all the women have like terrifying like broken necks, you know, like when video game women like have insane anatomy. And this this is very rude. It's an orgy a minute, but it's very like all of them are sort of like they, you know, it has a rich story. It's very, they're all very like, I read Playboy for the articles. Like,
and so they're trying to maintain that fiction.
Yeah. Although this one I liked a lot.
What are the reviews like?
Well, came for the ladies, stayed for the story. 10 out of 10. I bought this game as a ha cool another porn game. I never expected to be drawn in with amazing storytelling and moments that actually pull you in and can make you feel emotional for the characters. So like, maybe I should try playing this game. But
that makes it sound like he bought it as a joke.
Yeah, haha. And he's then what?
He's trying to justify it as him making a joke.
Yeah.
And hey guys, wouldn't it be really funny and weird if
if I played a porn game? Just kidding though. Now
it has 10,000 reviews. It came out in 2020, and it's the by a developer called Dr. Pink Cake, who has written.
Well, that's
yeah.
I'm not an easy man to shock, but that's an unpleasant name.
I know, but like they're. So they've done Being a Dick Season 1 and Being a Dick Season 2, which came out in 2022. And then before that, they had a game called Acting Lessons, which I really like the description of because it made it sound like some sort of like literal succubus. Do you want to experience an adult VN that many players and fans could only find the strength to play once?
One more thing, 007. Do try not to come while playing this game. Like, every time I bust that out.
Do we think that now it's easier to hide what you're buying or playing, that porn games will kind of like drop the act a bit and just be more like, yeah, it's for tits?
Some of them are just very tits heavy, but they might do. And I also think that more people will buy them. Because while I do not understand, like, video games are some of the least erotic things.
Yes. That's what, something I meant to say. Like, it's like the opposite of horny.
Yeah, really weird. So I don't get why you wouldn't just watch pornography if you wanted to watch pornography. Because video games are so not horny. But I do think more people will buy them now and just to sort of try them, do you know? And but I mean, there are some games that are like erotic, but like genuinely, I mean, the one that I'm thinking of is Lady Killer in a Bind, which is like a BDSM porny visual novel, but it's also about like, you know, intrigue and maybe this. I sound like that guy. I sound like the people reviewing them. The story is really good.
Look at all the bangerinos in bloody Dragon Squad. What you like?
Yeah, but I don't like it because
I'm being comical by pretending not to know the name of Dragon Age.
I don't, but like the Dragon Age sexies are really, really unhorny.
But this is it. I'm kind of fighting your corner here. Like, you know, that incidentally, there is technically. Well, I see what you mean. Could you call that erotic content?
Yeah.
It's erotic themed.
I'm sure to some people it is. And I've described BioWare games as like really, that it's people going to extraordinary lengths to disguise a dating sim, right? But they're not, like, I find video game representations of relationships and things fascinating because they're video games. And they can't do it very well, so I just find it very interesting. And in a sense, there is a purity to the porn games, because, you know, it's not pretending it's not porn, I guess. But at the same time, yeah, there is that, they're all like, yeah, it has a deep story. Does it? Like, how?
It's really interesting to think about this, though, because I remember thinking while playing Baldur's Gate 3 that I found like the romance is really narratively compelling without, well, putting it boldly, without really being turned on by it. Like, you know, it wasn't that they were in any way unconvincing or you know, non-sexy. Like, it was great writing.
Mm.
But yeah, that was just not the experience I was going there for, I guess. It's an odd one.
I did see another one. I was looking through all these porn games that was another, like, going to college one that, in fairness, did, like, the trailer had, like, bits from cutscenes and stuff. And it had, like, a bit where someone slapped someone else. It was like, how dare you do that to my father? And then someone got kidnapped. And then someone got struck by fucking lightning. And then it was, like, someone's dick getting sucked. So, like, it's...
Sorry, you delivered that brilliantly.
It's a real mishmash of stuff going on. And I'm with all these games, and with, like, Succubus and stuff as well, I'm like, who are they for? Like, who needs their porn to have, like, something else strapped onto it, you know?
But then you've got things like, you know, your classic Duke Nukem 3D and things where really it's not, like, any... titillation is a side effect of it being in there just to be generally edgy.
Yeah.
Like, just lumped in with, you know, whatever else will make the game unpalatable to eat, you know.
Yeah. I think that's...
prudish old people.
I think that's kind of the case with, like, Succubus, which is... I played some Succubus. It's genuinely an unplayable game. Not because it's, like, all edgy and stuff. It's just fucking... the controls are diabolical and it's shit. But, like... with, you know, these, like, I'm going to college for the first time, whoa, kind of, like, the objective is surely the pornography. Like, that is the large part of it. So why does there have to be, like, a kidnapping subplot or whatever? I don't understand.
See, if this leads to, you know, if this removes a barrier, the sort of embarrassment barrier to entry for a lot of people, and it ends up becoming a much bigger, like, subsector of the games industry... like, maybe we will end up, what, you know, what if you end up with sort of a breakout hit, you know, like in Among Us or whatever, but it's a porn game that just happens to have amazing, amazing gameplay at the middle of it. Like, that would be an incredibly uncomfortable situation if something like that got huge.
I don't think the games industry has the maturity to reckon with it.
I hope not.
But then it must be, in fairness, I scandalized my book club. As I say scandalized, they're actually all quite on board. I found it interesting. We had a Christmas meetup where I had about 2 litres of Prosecco and then was monstrously hungover. And at that meeting, I was drunk enough that I chose to share that I found it fascinating that, you know, Spotify Unwrapped. Well,
yeah.
Pornhub does a Pornhub Unwrapped. And I was like sharing all the look at all the search terms for the States and stuff. But some of the highest search things on Pornhub now are like hentai and video game characters and stuff. So maybe it's working the other way around, and like video games, much like the McPoyles in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, video games are tainting the blood of others. I'm on fire today, baby. All these references.
Thanks for bringing them to mind.
All these low percenters. So I don't think any of us own any games like that that we'd be embarrassed by, but also that's exactly what we'd say, isn't it? So,
oh yeah, it's Catch 22.
Got my eye on you, James.
Go ahead and look.
The innocent have nothing to fear.
You'll be too astounded by my Dota 2 and Team Fortress 2 hours to make it to the adult stuff.
And you won't know that I bury all my jollies in erotic Age of Empires 2 mods.
Zooming in really far as one sexy elephant. All right, let's talk about video games that we have been playing this week, not video games that we definitely would never play. Gag, what have we been up to this week? James, what are you playing? Dota 2.
No, I'm still playing Helldivers 2.
Everyone is.
It's good. It's still good. Although I am wondering if it's going to have the longevity of the by the other co-op shooters I like and have been playing in some cases for several years, which is not so much a repetition issue, because in these types of games, like, you will repeat particular maps or mission types, whatever, like that's absolutely to be expected. But definitely in terms of, I guess, progression, like, I'm just shy of 17 hours in, and I feel like I kind of already have all of what I want. So I've got the shotgun that everyone uses because it's better than all the other guns. I have the biggest and most powerful airstrikes unlocked. I have a skin that I like more than any other skins I can see in the future unlock paths. And well, I'm not necessarily the kind of player that has to always be drip fed, you know, content. If the core of the game is good, and it is in Helldivers 2 case, but there is a bit of a sense of where do I go from here? Does that make sense?
Okay.
But at the same time, there's also a part of my brain that thinks, is that something that I should really be worrying about? Because, like I say, like the core of Helldivers 2, of, you know, running around and blowing up bases and ragdolling yourself or your teammates off cliffs, that's still sufficiently entertaining to me. Like, I'm going to keep playing it.
Do you know what's happening to you, James?
What's that?
Because I thought about this the other day. I was eating a bit of honey, and I thought, oh, this is such good honey. What will I do when I run out?
Am I turning into a bear?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. it's this weird animal hoarding instinct we have, where something is just very uncomplicatedly brilliant and pleasant, we immediately worry about how we'll secure enough of it to have it forever. And it sounds like that might be happening to you.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, is it daft to sit there and think, I'm having fun now, but what if I have less fun in the future? And to let that, like, insecurity impact my current mood? Because I feel like I shouldn't think that.
I fear that's just being burdened with consciousness, James.
Well,
maybe.
I will say that it's having an extraordinary growth curve at the moment. It came out and then it's still more people are buying it week on week, I think for 3 weeks in a row now, which is...
I actually was hoping that James had played it, because I was coming here with the express intention of getting him to convince me to play it, because I've spent the whole week watching bloody videos about divers. It's making me really warny. Call back there. What I really like, what I think appeals to me from having watched a bunch of stuff about it, is the sense of the meta conflict and sort of like Malevolon Creek and the idea of just, yeah, being stuck in a grinding, like, nightmarish conflict where you are but an inconsequential cog.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like that aspect. Like, even in like a very ground level, like when you respawn, like you're not your character again. You're a different Helldiver with a different voice, and that's just how it is because you're a, you know, expendable drone.
Does it have the vibe of the first Star Wars Battlefront?
I did not play the first Star Wars Battlefront. Sorry.
So how many blokes? How many people are on a team? With you, like, is it sort of four or five people? Or
it's up to four. You get like a certain amount of reinforcements, i.e., like respawns, depending on like the mission length and type.
So it isn't like a Battlefront game where you've got like 16, 32 people on your side.
No,
that's what I would really like.
No, it is more like Deep Rock, but overground.
Okay.
Wow.
But like I said, like the I keep saying, like, the core of it is still good. The physical comedy aspect is like still kind of funny after what, like, nearly 20 hours.
The combat looks immensely satisfying. Like, even just watching people playing, like, it's quite haptic, I guess.
Yeah, like it does feel good, and there's like a nice weightiness to it, both to the guns and to yourself. And yeah, just landing a perfect airstrike, because that takes like some timing and some aiming. Like that's just mwah.
What's like your favorite of the two enemy factions to fight?
Oh, bugs, for sure. I like certain aspects of the robots. First off, they look and sound properly evil, which is
they're great. I love
which is, actually, which is I think that's quite hard, that's definitely quite hard to do with like humanoid robots. And I guess partly because I haven't had as much experience fighting them, they still have like a bit of that menace where you can't game them as much as you can the bugs. But at the same time, it's just kind of like they shoot you, you shoot them. It's not a particularly interesting interaction. Whereas if you're getting swarmed by bugs, that's like constant fun stress.
Yes, I've been really easy to see how big the impact of this game has been, because like it kicked off the whole discussion about like protagonists being bad guys, which then started a whole Starship Troopers discourse, which then started a whole Warhammer 40K discourse, which is raging now, and it's like a tsunami that was caused by Helldivers falling into the sea worldwide.
I have big kind of FOMO about it. It's one of those games like Balatro. Kind of, or I'm trying to think of another example, but it's a game that I want to play and feel I am missing out on by not playing, whilst also knowing that it's not really my kind of game. I probably wouldn't enjoy it, you know?
Same, yeah. It's like even learning just from James there that it's smaller scale and thus, you know, a lot harder to be carried in. I know I'd be garbs at it.
I've been playing, and I think as you listen to this, listener, the embargo will be up. I've been playing a scrappy kind of like the Jack Russell Terrier of RPGs. It's called Zoria, The Age of Shattering. It's made by a tiny team of like three Croatians, I think. And it's like a fantasy RPG that takes a lot of spokes from the wheels of other RPGs you like. It's top down isometric. It's squad based. So you have a squad of four people, turn based combat, and I don't know, saving the world from necromancers kind of thing. There's a lot of crafting. You can rest at any time. It's quite difficult. I nearly did, like, if I had not been reviewing it, I wouldn't have got through the kind of opening tutorial act, because it's balanced so that it's really hard. Because you start off with, like, only two people in your squad and all this kind of stuff, and, like, the boss fight at the end is really difficult. So I was just, like, furious at how unenjoyable and difficult the kind of, I guess, act 0.5 was. But it gets a lot easier then suddenly, and you end up basically you're given a fortress sort of near the northern mountains, and your job is to stop the bad lads coming through and kind of fortify the area and all this kind of stuff. You have a garrison, and you kind of could gradually upgrade it and get different benefits and things. There's crafting, there's alchemy, there's food, there's loads of little systems in there. It's a little bit, I would say, rough around the edges. Sometimes enemies can like shoot you through big piles of rock and things like that. Sometimes quest markers bug out. I've not had to use the crafting really ever, even though it says that's a big part of it. It's just it's a little bit scrappy, a little bit rough, but it's kind of short but sweet. I think it's about 20, 25 hours, something like that. And it's cute and fun. It's very, like, it's a Brandon Sanderson-ass game, right? So it's a lot of, like, names that are, like, throwing Scrabble at the board, and there's a lot of lore, but also, like, you don't really get a compelling reason to care about any of the characters in it, really, I don't think. But it's all right. It's all right. It's a good effort, you know. But
this sounds solid.
Yeah, I'd say solid. Yeah, solid is fair. It's yeah, small and scrappy and trying to punch above its weight. So I respect it. But that's what I've been playing. Nate, have you been playing anything interesting this week?
Nothing too out of the ordinary. However, I guess I'll throw in a mention. This was Hidden Cup Week, which is the, like, I would say by far the best tournament fixture in Age of Empires 2. It just concluded. There's a guy called T90, who streamed it on Twitch, and it's up on his YouTube channel as well. I think the final's being uploaded today. So if you have tolerance for and even enjoy competitive Age of Empires 2, I would say the highlights from this year's Hidden Cup, which would be the 5th, I think, would be a good watch. I've certainly enjoyed everything I caught live. I'll be looking forward to watching some of the highlights this evening.
Well, I've never really gotten massive into that, but then I'm watching slime YouTubers, so whom's am I to judge?
We all have our perversions.
Is there like a Age of Empires 2 meta at the moment, Nate? Like, what's strong?
The meta's actually, I couldn't tell you because for the tournament stuff, they don't use like the latest patch, I don't think. It's always slightly out of sync with. Yeah, what's meta on the ladder? It's pretty stable at the moment because it's been a while since we last had a sieve added to the game. But, well, I guess we'll see who comes out on top. Hidden Cup 5. That'll be our answer. Aztecs are always good.
As in real life.
James, it feels to me like it might be a good day to wear hard.
It is a good day to wear hard and a good day to eat cheese because researchers have discovered that whey, the dairy industry byproduct, can be an effective and cost-effective tool to aid in the recycling of e-waste, including PC motherboards.
Well,
So this is a practical study by staff at the Swiss University ETH Zurich. And it basically found that the fibers in whey can be kind of re-stitched into a sponge that absorbs the gold that's used inside motherboard circuitry, alongside other metals as well, also motherboard circuitry. And how it works is the motherboards are placed in an acid bath, which dissolves the gold and these other metals. And then the whey protein sponge is placed into the solution where it absorbs the metals, or like the metal ions, technically. And then if you remove and heat up the sponge, you can actually extract the gold and make it into nuggets. So it's a relatively easy and cheap way of recycling like the really valuable parts of this e-waste that's normally very hard to separate from the actual motherboard.
Would you say there's gold in them thar e-waste?
I was going to offer a cowboy metaphor, Nate.
I would have been legitimately depressed if you hadn't.
Okay, so say a cowboy is cooking some beans, and as he does so, it produces, because these are kind of like old, not that great quality beans. As he does so, it produces a layer of grease or fat on top of the pot, a bit like you get when when you're doing a roast and the chicken. It gets that kind of nasty, oily stuff and on top of the drippings. Anyway.
Classic GBS, greasy bean scenario, yeah.
And the cowboy thinks, well, I can find a use for these beans, but it would be better if I could separate that fat. So he does the classic culinary trick of taking a piece of bread, which for allegorical relevance was previously being used as part of a cheese sandwich, and he drags it across the top of the beans, which absorbs the fat into the bread and taking it out of the pot. And he can still make use of that because all he has to do is put that bread in the pan and he's got some delicious fried bread, as well as his beans.
How in tarnation that roughneck son of a gun's done it again.
No. Yeah, but beans aside, like e-waste is an issue, and it's gonna grow as an issue, like especially after everyone bought PCs and laptops and games consoles and all that during lockdown. And it's a bit funny sounding to use whey as a recycling aid, but if it works and if it can work at scale, like it's like sure, why not? Go for it.
Well, that's great, and it taps into the food waste issue as well.
Yeah, it's a complete 360 degree recycling experience.
You might even say, way!
Way, lads.
Boo.
Well, if you think that's bad, you should come up to the tower.
Well, let's do that, Nate. What's in the tower this week? We were partially forewarned, but not entirely forearmed, so.
Well, the The Tower is very erotic this week. What's happened is I've taken 5 games from Rock Paper Shotgun's 50 best strategy games list, and I've redacted their descriptions, so you don't know what the games are, and also made them erotic. So you're going to have to guess what the original strategy games were before I applied the incredibly horny text you're about to hear. Spoiler, it's not that bad, but don't listen with your kids.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for the first?
Yes.
Okay, so these are all strategy games.
Yep, and they're all from the RPS Top 50. Umpteen games offer the fantasy of being an extremely horny spaceship pilot, but few deliver it quite so randomly as this. It's a fantasy in which there are norks on the view screen, boners in the engine room, and your survival is reliant on a mysterious 3-bollocked alien. This game revels in creating randy science fiction scenarios like this. It's a so-called sex-like, in which you control comely spaceships and their randy crew from a top-down perspective. You're flying at light speed across the galaxy with your bits out for all to see and must make decisions about how long to linger in each sector, which items to trade, and where to bury your cosmic bone. Mostly your words, not mine. Do you want the rest or do you want to guess?
FTL?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, next. Redacted is the strategy game most likely to make you wake up in an extremely sexy mess.
Yeah.
It's an abstract simulation of bumping uglies in which the tension rises, along with some willies. And frantic deals lead to bitter money shots. It's a game in which people are reduced to numbers and willies. Scores are measured in bazoingas boinked, and in the default setting, blopping on an opponent's territory is worth 2 points, while losing a million citizens in your own only loses 1 point. Netflix and chill, indeed.
Oh.
Is this a territory controlling game?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It is.
It's not.
Well,
I don't think it's Crusader Kings, because I don't think you can kill millions in Crusader Kings. Not in one
no.
game.
Focus on that. The mega death is a key aspect.
Oh.
Which I largely obfuscated from the text because it would have been a bummer.
I don't know.
It's quite a classic.
Is it a Civ?
Begins with D.
It's not DEFCON.
It is DEFCON.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Well done, James.
There you go.
Yeah. Horny right. DEFCON. Got it.
Number 3. Arguments over which of Erotogrames' historical rope-blasting sims is the best is a time-honoured tradition among hardcore digital shagging obsessives, and you'll probably find a lot of those discussions tend to conclude with 2011's Redacted. In our own discussions, we concluded that while 2017's Bumhole Agincourt was the bestest best in the series you can play today, Redacted is still one of the all-time classics. That one's a tricky one.
Ooh. I think the dates are going to give it away.
Yeah. So it's a series that had a game in 2011 and 2017.
And many more.
And many more. And you said Bumhole Agincourt, which suggests medieval.
Could have been a red herring. I mean, the first draft for that line was Gimps of Rome, so, you know.
Okay, all right, okay. Is it Civ this time?
No.
Total War?
Yes, but which one?
2011, God.
Oh,
I don't know. My total war knowledge ain't that great.
Alice, want to hazard a guess?
I don't know. 3.
It's Shogun 2. Shogun 2.
Oh, clear. Fuck off.
Shogun 2.
All right, next one. If you had to describe Redacted in a few words, it'd sound like almost any other game of Galactic Rumpy Pumpy. Planets and ships can be seduced, and as ever, you'll be trying to gather as much science, industry, and spaff as possible. Simple. The twist in this particular tale is the speed of the banging, or perhaps the distances involved. Send a washing machine technician to explore, diagnose, and resolve a mechanical fault takes hours, and there's no way to speed up the passage of time. So what to do while waiting? Wank. I'm so sorry for this week.
Little boredom wank. Yeah. Okay, space.
Two-word title.
Oh. Is it one of the famous ones?
It's one of the famous ones.
Two-word title.
RPS Classic.
Elite Dangerous.
No.
No.
No, it's got a god in the title.
But it's space.
Which pantheon?
Oh, now that I appreciate. Roman.
Mars?
It's Neptune's Pride.
Neptune's Pride.
Oh.
Picking between Redacted and Other Redacted took an afternoon of pud stroking. But if Ooh La La Studios' real-time stealth tactics boning adventures have taught us anything, it's the value of carefully considered sex moves. Reinvigorating a subgenre left dormant since the glory days of Bonehaver 3 and Bollock Lord, Redacted reminds us of the pleasures of shuffling tiny sex people through swinging dioramas under the watchful, not to mention very green and triangular eyes of horny bandits. Add an elegant, extremely provocative interface and smart interlocking character genitals, and it's the best the genre has ever seen.
Is it one of the Mimi? Is it like a Desperados? What was that noise?
Let's go on.
Desperados 3?
Yes! Yeah. Absolutely,
Alex.
Got it in one.
I was going to say, well, Dawn of War.
So you'll probably want a shower after that before you leave the tower, but I'd better hose down, so if you could leave.
Okay.
Great.
Let's get out of it. Oh, the floor's sticky.
Don't want to make this awkward.
I have to put this episode on private.
Thanks for that, I think. I don't
you
know.
Did good.
I don't know why, but it makes me laugh when people say willy when they're talking about sex, because it's such a sweet word.
It's great, isn't it?
Thank God is all we've got time for on this week's episode of the Electronic Wireless Show podcast, Rock Paper Shotgun's PC gaming podcast, and the only podcast you need. But at the end of every episode, we do some recommendations. Also, before I forget, it's just come to me. Thank you very much to the listener whose name is redacted, not because it's sexy, but for privacy reasons, who emailed saying that my book is good. Thank you very much. It was a very kind email. It's much appreciated. But yeah, let's recommend some things, lads, because every week we recommend something that isn't a video game. So, let's jams. James, what are you recommending this week?
So I have a double recommendation, or a double measure, you might say, of boozy drinks. The first is Aberfoyle's single malt whiskey, which is the first Welsh whiskey I've ever had. It's very young. It's only aged for 3 years, I think, but it's very smooth. Has a really nice like butterscotch taste at first, and then that develops into this warm, drawn-out spiciness. Very good. The second is Iford Cloudgazer Cider. This is a dangerously tasty, not especially alcoholic, cloudy cider. I usually prefer carbonated ones, but Cloudgazer is still very fresh, light, happy-tasting cider, which you don't always get with cloudy ones. That has the same like uplifting quality to a fizzy cider. So those are my two booze recommendations to make up for not doing one in a while.
Lovely. I like
just
cider.
Just don't have them together unless you want to try a really weird apple Boilermaker.
Ew, gross.
Gruesome.
I went to university in Devon, so I used to drink a lot of cider. One time I went for years ago now, I went for a job interview. I think actually it was when Matthew Castle was the editor of Xbox Mag, had met up with a friend in Bath and had two pints of a really strong, it was like a 8% cider, and then nearly missed my train home because I was... I did not get the job.
Oh, sorry, that was quite... It's quite a forceful laugh.
It was fine.
Good job. I apologise.
I've not gone. Most jobs I've interviewed for, strangely enough. Nate, what are you recommending this week? I could go for you next week.
It's album time. I'm going to recommend the album Radio Galaxy by Starcadian, which is sort of histrionic space opera disco. It's fucking wicked. Been having a good time with that.
What?
So, I'm into that.
I'm struggling to visualize what that sounds like, but
it's imagine a disco album with track titles like Cannibal Gods and This City Is Going to Kill Us, Babe. Cannibal Gods is an absolute banger of a track. Actually, it's like a weird pastiche of Thriller. With a load of computer noises. It's good.
I am going to recommend a Welsh blanket company called Welsh Otter. I got a blanket for my birthday from my dad, whomst is Welsh. I mean, he's Welsh, but he fucking feels like it, in fairness. Like, he is actually Welsh. Like, both his parents are Welsh. He was raised in Wales, but he refers to himself as British whenever Brexit comes up. So, I mean, make it that way you will.
I didn't know he was Welsh. So that tells you, really, doesn't it?
Well, I mean... He left home when he was 16 and doesn't really have an accent. But, you know, I say things like kutch sometimes, which is like a loving cuddle in Welsh.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. You want a kutch?
That's lovely.
So I'm going to recommend this Welsh company. They make lovely blankets and they're such nice colours. And they look lovely as like a throw and they're also very warm.
Is it like a kutch?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really, really nice. And nice present from my dad in it. And, you know, Mother's Day coming up. Mum's like blankets. Probably won't get to her in time actually thinking about it, the date that this will come out. But if you're a blanket fan, as I am, check out Welsh Otter. As ever, for all our recommendations, the links will be in the show notes, as will be links to the Discord, which is... RPS's official kind of hangout, although we don't actually run it, I think. So thank you to the volunteers running the Discord. It's much appreciated. And to everyone hanging out, talking about video games and the podcast and all that kind of stuff, check it out. It's a fun hang. You can also, if you want to email us telling me my book is great, the email is podcast@rockpapershotgun.com. And you can also find Rock Paper Shotgun on all of your favorite and least favorite social medias. Just look for Rock Paper Shotgun, probably there somewhere. And of course, for all of your PC gaming needs, go to www.rockpapershotgun.com. But for now, it is goodbye from me, Alice Bell. It is goodbye from James Archer.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from Nate.
Goodbye.
Bye.